A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. I'm Laura Capon.
And I'm Paisley Gilmore, and this week we'll be joined by Marianne, who'll share her experiences of navigating relationships as an autistic person.
So before we get Marianne on, I need your help, Paisley.
Oh.
don't groan.
I'm worried. Okay.
I need you to like give me some of your confidence when it comes to dating. So basically I had, would you call it an epiphany? Maybe an epiphany over the weekend.
Right.
And I realised that I just have no confidence with men or dating apps. And that's just why I just don't do it. Because I just feel like there's no point. Like when people were like, are you dating? And I feel like, well, what's the point? No one would go out with me. And I just hate... But I just hate it. So don't worry, I didn't have a big cry. It was just an epiphany. But I just don't know how to like get over that thought of like no one would ever like me. So what's the point? I don't know if anyone else feels like that.
I think like I've heard so many of my friends say the same thing, and it makes me so sad because you were wonderful, every single one of you. And I don't know how you can think that about yourself, and it makes me really upset. But is it the fact that you've had so many negative experiences through apps and during dating that it's made you feel like that?
Yeah, and I think, like, I guess being really honest, I think being plus size, like, you do... I know that I am not a lot of people's cup of tea. And I feel like... I know it sounds stupid, but I'll look and my friend will have, like, so many Hinge likes, and I'll go on and I have, like, two... in a good week. I just feel like, I don't know, I can't explain it. Like people ask me, I'm like, what's the point? No one's ever going to like me because I'm bigger.
I hate that you feel like that. And like, just because other people are getting shitloads of matches doesn't mean the quality of those matches are any good. Like,
yeah,
if
that's
anything,
true,
you're weeding out the dickheads. You may only get two, but those two appear...
I don't know. You haven't seen. And then when you do, then it's just like, so after I had this, I was like, right, go and message some people. And they were like immediate. So I updated all my pictures. I updated my bio. And I put like, I was taking all the advice that we've learned from like the love languages expert. And
yeah.
So I did all of that. And then I still had the two that like I matched with and I messaged. They were kind of like immediately like, oh, are you a mistress? You know, immediately went like down that route of like, I know. I don't know what vibe I was giving off. Not
did
that.
Did you have to have yourself with a whip?
Oh, so that'll be
like
it.
Making it sexual.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And you know me. We know me from this podcast. I'm incredibly vanilla. So then I just then get really like disheartened because then I just feel like, oh, what is the point? But I feel like because you always like put yourself out there and have like, to me, it seems you have no fear. So I just basically want a pep talk.
Oh, that's so much pressure.
No pressure.
I don't think you're right. I don't think I do put myself out there and I have no fear.
I guess that's just how you seem to me, how you
when
rep
actually
yourself.
I'm
yeah, you're just not telling me.
I'm sat at home like nobody fancies me, I hate myself. Like we all feel like that, but I'm just projecting something completely differently on the internet, Laura. Don't you realise that's how it is? I think
No. Everyone
feels unconfident. I think it's like that woman who we once referenced. I can't remember her bloody name now, but she said it's just a numbers game. You just got to keep throwing shit at the wall until it sticks. And I know that takes up so much emotional energy and it can be really, really hard. And you might go through phases where you don't want to date because you just can't be asked and you don't feel like you have the confidence. But if you do want to find a partner, you just got to get on with it.
And so with the numbers game thing, how do you, because I feel like I just take every interaction so personally. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, like on Tinder, if you match with someone, and then I'll go in and they'll have unmatched me like straight away. And like, I find that so personal sometimes when that happens, because you just think, oh, I don't know. And it's really hard to not take every one of those tiny things. How do I get over that?
No, I totally get that. I've had that before where I've thought I've said something really funny and then someone's unmatched me and I've been like, what? You don't even know me. But then you have to remember, exactly, they don't even know you. It's not personal. You're literally like, they call it the gamification or gamification, I don't actually know how to pronounce it, of dating, because you're not even really seeing people as human beings. They're literally just like profiles on an app. So it really isn't personal. And also, you never know what's going on in that person's life. They might have literally just like met someone, or they might have like agreed to be exclusive with someone, and that's why they're now not replying. Or, you know, you don't know them, they don't know you. It's not personal.
So maybe in like those initial stages, I like dehumanize them. That sounds awful. Dehumanize them like a bit. So it's not, because in my head, I create this whole like fantasy, but maybe I don't do that.
Yeah, just don't let your brain get ahead of itself. Set yourself up for disappointment. That's okay. What I do. But then again, don't be like me and like put your guards up so much that you're never willing to be vulnerable and then you never get to experience anything. Don't go too far my way.
I feel like we need a balance of us both, of not me just constantly sharing all my problems on the internet and you not sharing your problems with anyone. Like, we just need
I know.
Perhaps if we had children, they would be the perfect.
They would be fit legends.
Maybe Marianne can give me some advice as well, actually.
I'm sure she can.
We're joined today by Marianne, who recently wrote a piece for us at Cosmo after watching Netflix's new dating show, Love on the Spectrum. Marianne spent years in relationships feeling she was unlovable, but recently she finally received confirmation that she is autistic. She's here to share her experiences of dating and navigating relationships. Welcome, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi, thanks so much for coming and for writing the wonderful piece you did for us.
It's had such good feedback. I was looking on Twitter and so many people, I think, are just like really chuffed that you wrote it. They can really relate to it.
Yeah, people have been very nice. I had someone like DMing me on Instagram being like, oh, I don't know, this like Medium post they'd written about how the show was actually like fine art. And I was like, I just blocked them.
You're like, no.
Perfect use of the block button there.
Everyone should go read it. It's on the Cosmopolitan site, but also if you just Google Cosmo Love on the Spectrum, you'll find Marianne's piece, and we will discuss it later. But before that, do you mind telling us, because obviously you only received your diagnosis quite recently, so
yeah.
What were your, before you did receive your diagnosis, what were your kind of relationships and dating experiences like growing up?
Well, I didn't have a lot of them. I was like, you know, I knew I was like bisexual from quite a young age. So when I was a young teenager, I was kind of like messing about with all of my friends. And like, you know what it's like. It was like 2005.
The glory days.
The glory days for young bisexuals. And then I started dating someone when I was really... Well, I had a boyfriend before that, but it was less serious. And I started dating someone when I was 14. And it was... And we dated until I was 24. So it was like a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
A decade.
Yeah.
At 14.
Yeah.
I was still in my Umbro shorts. Like,
you are still in your Umbro shorts now.
Shut up.
It's a podcast. You can't see.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't really know. I didn't know until I was quite a lot older. And like, as I started to realize the kind of difficulties I was having, everything kind of got worse.
Okay. What kinds of difficulties were you having at the time?
Basically, I mean, being autistic like, affects everything. And a big thing is kind of just how you experience like, or everything, like sounds, smells, like everything. So like, I can be quite, you know, before I really understood what was wrong, I could be quite irritable to live with because I'd get so overwhelmed and I wouldn't know why. Like, noises would just be like painful to experience and stuff. Mm. And obviously that caused like a lot of arguments, but I didn't really know why. I was just like, and just stuff like that, like, you know, quirks, I guess, but with no reason.
I can totally understand that. And then you get like kind of labeled as like, yeah, irritable, or like grumpy, when that other person doesn't actually know like how much that is like troubling you.
Yeah. And just being like, I don't know, like autistic people, and like especially me, like we do express like love and affection and everything, but we're kind of often less likely to like initiate conversation stuff. Mm. Like I would be very happy just like minding my own business all day, doing my own stuff all day, and it's hard for me to like think to talk to someone else. And you know, that can be confusing if you don't know why, I guess.
I guess it's a bit like the we've had love languages on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And I guess kind of, Paisley, do you think stuff like that, where like if that's your thing, you're perfectly happy, but then the other person needs you to like constantly kind of talk to them and like praise them, that's going to be difficult?
Yeah, especially if they read you not initiating conversation as you not being interested, when actually it's like, nah, I'm not interested.
I'm just in my own world. Like, yeah, like my boyfriend now, like he, I don't know, like I'm very like loving, I'm very like giving with my love, I'm very whatever, but also especially because I have ADHD and stuff and I work at home, I have to just spend the whole day like doing my own thing. But now I'm aware of it, I make much more of an effort to like have like a set time a day that we like hang out.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think all couples, regardless of whether they're autistic or, you know, should do that.
Yeah.
I think we all need a bit more structure to our relationships, to be honest.
Yeah.
So when you would like talk to your friends, because obviously you were with your previous ex for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Did you kind of feel like, oh, things were a bit different? Like, did you feel like something was missing for you in a relationship?
Kind of, but I honestly think it was just us. Like,
yeah.
It's like with my boyfriend now, like, you know, we're like madly in love and very cute and like, I don't know, envy inducing.
Yeah, no, they are. On Instagram, it's like, is this a joke? They're so cute.
I could already feel, I can feel the hatred because of just pure jealousy there.
So I feel like it was more that, I think some of it was that me and my ex were like quite badly matched. We had like very different, you know, the reason we matched well in the first place was because we were a lot younger and we have really similar interests in like films and comedy and stuff. But then when you get older, that's not enough. And we had very different, like, I don't know, values and ideas about life and stuff. But because I'd so convinced myself that I was just like the problem and I was unlovable and whatever, it took me a really long time to be like, actually, we should just break up.
So do you think thinking you were the problem made you kind of go along with it for longer because you're like, I'm the one that needs to change, kind of thing?
Yeah, like it's the same in friendships. Like, you know, I'll be like just badly, you know, I just don't vibe with someone, or like they're not very flexible in how they communicate with me, or like they're not ready to like make accommodations for me or whatever. And I just keep thinking, I'm the problem, I need to change, but like I just can't. But I want to have friends so badly, I'm like, please, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I can really relate to that. Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
I feel like we need to be more respectful of other people's needs rather than everyone changing to like our like methods of communication and how often we want to talk.
We kind of expect everyone to act the same way, and if they don't, we're like, well, they're the problem. Like, yeah. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. But you, it made me really sad when you use the term unlovable there. Like, what made you feel like you were unlovable?
I mean, I guess it's a combination of things. Like, I had like, you know, a bad relationship with my family, and then, you know, like I say, I had a lot of fallouts with friends and stuff because, especially when I was a lot younger, like people would read my like just wanting to hang out on my own at school, or like, you know, I didn't want to go to the cinema with other people because they're like, if they talked or something, like it drove me insane and stuff like that. Like people read all of that as like not being a good friend or whatever, and it would confuse them, and they'd like stop speaking to me suddenly. And then, like, I don't know, as things went on, things got worse with like arguing with my ex, he would start to say that I was cold or that I was unlovable or like whatever. And I was like, yeah, maybe. Like,
yeah, cold is a really, I feel that's a really like mean term. I don't know. Yeah. It's quite hard hitting.
I think it's really mean. And I think people use it a lot for like, you know, like when Greta Thunberg started to be really like a big thing, I read a lot of people saying, oh, she's cold, she's whatever. And it's like, she's so passionate. She's just passionate in a different way.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also totally a gendered thing, because when do you hear men being described as cold? It's because the expectation of women is that they're warm and welcoming and...
Yeah. Yeah, when men are like quiet, you're like, oh, there must be something really important going on in there.
The strong, yeah. Silent type.
They're brooding.
Yeah, yeah, why can't I be brooding?
And, you're cold. Did you have an awareness of autism at the time, or was it something that you never even kind of considered?
I had quite a few autistic friends, which maybe should have been a sign. Because, I don't know, I've always been... like if I see someone like on their own at school or whatever, I just want to like talk to them and be friends with them. So quite a lot of my friends were like autistic and stuff, because obviously a lot of autistic kids in like the 90s and whatever were bullied.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think about it until like 2015, because I'd always worked in like bars and stuff, which like has its own problems, but I mostly got along fine. And then I got an office job and it was just horrible. Like, I struggled so much with, like you say, like, noises, like, working within other people's, like, schedules, like, being told what to do, like, being up early. Like, there was just so much about it that I couldn't do, and I thought I was, like, failing at just, like, being a person. And then I think I read an article about, like, how it presents, like, differently in women in childhood, and it made so much sense to me.
And differently in women than it does from boys and
men. Yeah. Yeah. Like typically like boys and men, I don't know, you're like, you're generally, your idea of autism is like oriented around like how boys behave, you know, like, you know, really stereotypical stuff, like they're into trains or they're like, mm-hmm. you know, badly behaved or like whatever. Whereas girls like have different really obsessive interests. Like a lot of the time it's like stories and books and stuff. But also they're kind of, because of the way that we're socialized, generally we'll do a thing called masking, which is like basically copying other people around you. And like, you know, even if what's polite or whatever doesn't come naturally to you, you'll look at your peers and like copy them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it gets hidden quite early.
Oh, what? So girls are more likely to do that because yeah. they're socialized to...
be polite and like
that's so, so interesting.
Yeah.
Is that why it takes girls longer in general to get a diagnosis?
Yeah, because we just are more, like I say, socialized to want to be like amicable and like fit in and like to be liked. Like, you know, an autistic boy will be much happier just doing his own thing and he won't think as much about how other people see him, whereas girls... something I read that was really interesting is a lot of like autistic girls will like pick one peer that they want to copy. Like they'll get a best friend and just like imitate how they behave because they think it must be like right.
Yeah.
So how did you come to be diagnosed?
I first went to, because at that point I went to the doctor to try and get a diagnosis for ADHD, because that can be like medicated and you can get support for it. And I felt like that was the most disruptive thing because I kind of realized that I had that, but they just weren't very helpful. So I kind of like just waited, like, I don't know. My belief was like, I was like, oh, you know, I'm an adult now. I don't need to, it's not like I need to tell anyone at school or anything. I can just like get on with my life without a diagnosis. And then a couple of years later, I was working at Dazed and I had all the same problems again. And I just, even though it was a job that I liked and I loved everyone I was working with, I just really struggled to work in that environment and I was like, I need a diagnosis. But I was referred and then it was rejected because I wasn't a harm to myself and they didn't have the funding if you weren't like in danger.
That's so sad.
I left it for a bit and then I got referred by the NHS again, And then I'm still kind of going through that process because there's other stuff I need in the NHS, but I ended up going private in the end because it was just so long.
Was it almost a relief once you had that?
Yeah, because I think what's so hard is, like, I don't know, like, I really, like, I went to a psychiatrist last year who said, you know, why do you want a diagnosis? There's not a cure. And I was so angry because I was like, I don't want a cure. Like, there's a lot about myself that I really like. Like, I'm really, like, passionate about my interests and stuff. I'm really, like, passionate about, like, people and animals. And, like, you know, I think it's driven me a lot and it's, like, who I am. But you don't, other people don't always get that. And, like, in work and stuff, and even in just, like, random personal interactions or stuff, it's so much more helpful for me if someone knows that. And if I do or say something that they think is a bit weird, or, like, I don't respond in the way they want to, or I don't look them in the eyes enough, they can just go, oh, that's why. And hopefully I can just get on with my day.
Yeah, and I guess it's, like, a part of your identity as well. Like, you want to know that.
Yeah.
I don't know, that seems awful. Like, why do you want to know there's not a cure? Like,
yeah, why would I want a cure? Like, I don't.
Yeah, like, you said, I love that you just, like, listed all the traits that you do like about yourself, because I do feel like with autism, it's always listed as the negative things.
Yeah. Yeah, like, obviously stuff like the sensory stuff, like, it's obviously stressful, like, going to, like, a restaurant or whatever and being able to, like, hear everything and, like, being uncomfortable and, you know, maybe struggling to eat certain foods or, like, whatever. But I think, like, for me personally, so much of the good outweighs the bad. Like, it's so integral to just who I am.
Yeah, like you said, the passion, because I feel like, you know, that kind of, like, really passionate about your hobbies and things when you're younger, I think. Yeah. That's so sad that, like, a lot of people lose that when they're older, so I actually think that's, like, such a nice trait to still have.
Yeah, and it also means that I end up, because I also, like I say, like, it's nice to know for, like, the community aspect as well, because I'd kind of started writing about autism a little bit, and, like, I had a lot of autistic friends and, like, stuff, and it's really hard, like, knowing why you connect with them but not feeling that you have the right to be like, yeah, me too. And then you can connect on a deeper level if you can kind of talk about that stuff together as well.
Yeah.
So has it, like, strengthened some of your friendships?
Yeah, I mean, a few of the girls and stuff I know, that had already gotten their diagnosis, so I was already talking to them about it a little bit anyway. And then I have other friends, like, you know, one of my friends he's not diagnosed, but he really thinks he might be. And we were, like, we already connected so much, and we connected really strongly on, like, we're both, like, really into, like, theme parks. Like, we're big nerds about, like, Disneyland and stuff. And whenever we're together, we just, like, talk for hours about, like, Disneyland. And then he was like, yeah, I think I might be autistic. I was like, yeah. Seems likely.
Love that. You mentioned that you're in a relationship now, but obviously you got together before you received your diagnosis.
Yeah.
Like, did you talk to him about it from the beginning and be like, oh, I think that I might be an autistic person, or?
So we got together a few months after I left Dazed. And part of the reason I left Dazed was because I just, like, they couldn't really offer me, like, the accommodations I needed and whatever. And I just, you know, left. So at some point, at the start of us dating, I think I mentioned it because I'd had so many, like, communication problems with my ex, and it was just, like, stuff, like, I don't know, if we were arguing and I needed to just go and be on my own and, like, for, like, a little bit of time and, like, avoid, like, having, like, a meltdown and getting, like, you know, overwhelmed or whatever, and he just would not leave me alone. He'd just, like, follow me around, not leave me alone. And then I'd get more upset, and then he'd kind of be quite nasty about the fact that I was so upset. And, like, I just badly wanted to avoid, like, anything like that, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's a very different person to that, so I don't think it was really a problem anyway.
Yeah. So that was not, like, a thing that you had to kind of overcome in this relationship, because...
No. Like, there's some, like, communication stuff, I guess. I think all people should aim for anyway is, like, just clarity and, like, honesty. Mm. And, like, the only kind of disagreements we've had is when I say something and he might, like, assume that I mean something different because, you know, he grew up around neurotypical people and, like, who say the opposite of what they mean all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I literally mean this thing. I mean, if I say I'm happy, I'm happy. If I say something's annoyed me, it's annoyed me. Like,
communication is key. Yeah. That's like the one thing we, I swear, every like episode, that's what we learn.
Yeah, just actually talk to each other.
Yeah. And how, even though someone says something, we still don't, like you say, we still don't believe them. It's, oh God, communicate. We're all bullshitters.
So what do you think are the most common misconceptions about people diagnosed as autistic and their dating and relationships?
I think a common misconception is that, well, first of all, they can't.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Date, you know, like, I was hoping that they would do more with that show. Cause like, I don't know, like, I struggle. I've never dated casually. I can't do it. I have so many like weird things and like whatever, like, you know, if I went out with someone casually and they like touched my hair without like warning me or whatever, and I start like freaking out or whatever, it's a lot to explain to like a complete stranger.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not for me. Or like, you know, I find it really hard to like talk to people if we don't have like the same interests or whatever. Like, I'm really bad at like small talk and stuff. There's just a lot that I can't do with casual dating. Like, so I've never done it. But, you know, some people might be able to, but a lot of the autistic people I know are in quite long term, like serious relationships, because I think it's just, I don't know, better suited to how we communicate and exist and whatever. I don't know. I think a big misconception, like I said before, is that we're somehow like cold or like distant or like unlovable just because we express things differently. And I also think it's a misconception which they, like in the show, they only had autistic people date other autistic people. And like, obviously they can, and you might have a deeper understanding. And like, you know, I know a couple of couples who are like both autistic, but I also just don't think it's necessary. I think all you need is the other person to just be like understanding and ready to like communicate differently, which you should be in a new relationship anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just learning about the other person and understanding their needs, right? Regardless.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the same for everyone. And I think, I don't know, people have this misconception that we're like so much more difficult or like complicated or whatever. It's like everyone has their things, you know, it's like unique to them.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it's more straightforward, the fact that you're upfront and honest, like you say, rather than people that say one thing and they actually mean another.
Yeah, I think so.
How else do you think, I loved one thing that you wrote in the piece for Love on the Spectrum, and you said how they kind of, I can never, oh, another word I can't say, infant, you know, Paisley, help me out, you know, like when you infant...
Oh, infantilize.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. thank you.
She also can't do fetishized. They're quite similar.
God. Yeah, you said that they do that to people on the show, like people watching. Can you kind of explain that for anyone that hasn't read the piece?
Yeah, like I think that when people like see, it's the same with anyone with like autism isn't like a disability, but same with people with like well, it can be, it's complicated, but yeah, it's the same with people with like disabilities and stuff, or people with like Down syndrome or whatever. Like, people will watch them on TV and they think that the nicest thing to do is to go like, oh, how cute, how precious, like little baby, and like they're like a dog, and it's like they're an adult, like, you know.
Yeah, that's a fully grown man.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Like, I don't know, like, so many people were like making memes like, Michael is so pure, and it's like, Michael is 30 years old. Like, I don't, and I found it like, I find it with myself, like, I don't know, like, people I like and get along with as like adults, like, ever since I got my diagnosis, like, I don't know, someone messaged me the day and she was being nice, but like, I said something, I can't remember what it was. Oh, I posted that like I would give away like a couple of my zines for free to like Fall Out Boy fans who didn't have any money or whatever. She messaged me and she was like, you're so cute and pure. And I was like, I'm an adult. I've done sex. Like, I don't know. And she never spoke to me like that before. And it just felt a little bit like, is this because of that? I don't know. Like, people being like, you're so precious. It's like, no one ever talked to me like that before.
Is it because they're, like, I'm trying to understand why people act like that. Is it because they're assuming you're vulnerable in some way, or like you need... I don't know. I don't get it.
I think it's partly vulnerability, especially when it comes to people with just disabilities generally. But I think it's also like autistic people are like, everything is quite like raw and like exposed. Like, for me personally, I am quite vulnerable, I guess, in just that like my feelings are so like at the surface, like how much I like love things is very like at the surface. Like, you know, sometimes people will say that they really like how like, and ashamed I am about like the stuff I love or whatever, and like, that's nice, it's a nice compliment, but I think it feeds into that, like, I think it's considered quite like childish to just like purely like love and enjoy things, which is a shame.
That's really sad, isn't it, that what, in adulthood we expect people to be less into the stuff they love, like, what?
Yeah, or like less excited, like, I don't know, if I go like out and about of a day, like anywhere, like I'm really excited and I think it's cool. And like, I'm excited to see like flowers, or if there's a fucking, I went to like Crystal Palace party yesterday and saw a big rat and I was like, big rat.
Buzzing that you've seen a rat.
I was buzzing on my big rat. But like, but it's cool. I like it. And I don't, it doesn't make me like a child. It just means that I get a lot of joy out of like nothing.
No, I think that's, I always remember, I used to work with someone called Susie, and she wrote, she ended up writing some books, and she always wanted to write like young adult, and she hated that it was called young adult anyway, because she just said like that age, they, she loved that they were so packed, like if you love something, you love it and you're so into it, and she said it was so sad that we lose that. So I'm with you. I feel like I actually find that like quite attractive if you're like really into your interests and have a passion.
But like, that's, you know, that's why me and my boyfriend now get along so well, because he really likes that. Like, I don't know, like we went to like Disneyland, and like, it's not just going to Disneyland. It's like me like being like, here's all the facts of like this ride, and it was built in like whatever. And like, did you know, like whatever. And like, he really likes it because it's, I don't know, he's 30. Like, a lot of people that he knows are, have been beaten down by life. It's nice to have, be around people who are like stoked on stuff. And like, I feel the same way. Like, I love meeting people who are passionate and know a lot about things that I don't know about or I don't care about, and they can just like tell me about it. I think it's really cool.
I feel like we need to talk afterwards, because I went to Tokyo Disneyland.
Oh my god,
we need to talk about the snacks there.
Oh my god, I was supposed to go in March. I was meant to go to Disneyland and Disney Sea, and it obviously was cancelled. Devastated.
Oh, maybe we won't then. We'll save that.
No, I rescheduled, so we have to know what to look forward to.
To expect.
She loved it.
Would you have any advice for other autistic people who are struggling with dating?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say, like, not to compromise or settle. Like, you don't have to, like, date someone who's shitty to you or who sees, like, your autism as, like, a hindrance. Oh no, I feel like sort of lucky to have found someone who, like, you know, sees it for what it is, like something that causes me problems sometimes, but it's generally like completely, it's completely like a different neurology. Like, your brain is completely different. It has everything to do with every aspect of who you are. Like, you need to date people who like appreciate that and understand it. And like, you can't set off people who are just like, act as if it's like some shitty, like extra bit.
or like a problem.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it's
like they tolerate it rather.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like people who want to date someone who's autistic need more advice, but need to like just know that, I don't know, autistic people are great and they just need to be patient and like find out, you know, what's best for them communication wise and what's best, you know. Some people, like I say, like people have issues with like sounds and smells and stuff. So obviously like certain things in like sex can be more complicated for an autistic person. Like you just have to find out what someone's limits are and like what they actually like and how to speak to them, and which is should be basic anyway, but
yes, it should. I guess also like assuming not all autistic people experience it that stuff in the same way.
Yeah, everyone is very different. Like I don't know, like I don't mind going to gigs, for example, because like how much I like, you know, there's a lot of stuff I struggle with, but how much I like the band that's playing outweighs how painful the other stuff is, whereas someone else, it might just be hell and they just can't even enter that kind of space. Like everyone's completely different.
Yeah. A lot of dating is around like gigs and restaurants and drinking and loud spaces. So like,
yeah.
Just have a chat about what works better.
I guess, yeah, that's the thing as well. Like, if you meet someone who's autistic and you like them, just say like, where do you want to go out? You know, do you want to go to this bar or would you rather go to like the park, or do you have like a preferred environment that won't drive you insane? And like, it's not that like hard, really.
And do you think it's something as well, like obviously it's hard because you're in a relationship now, but if you were kind of do you think it's something like, would you want to put that you were an autistic person in your bio, or is it something that like you don't want it to define you?
I don't mind if it defines me, because it just literally does, I guess. Like it's hard because, yeah, I'd probably put it in my bio. Like it's in like my Twitter bio, because I'm like, I just can't be bothered to engage with anyone who wouldn't want to speak to me if they knew, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, I get that.
It's the same as being like bi or whatever. Like if it's something that someone would find out on a second date and then have issue with, I wouldn't want to have gone out with them in the first place.
You use it to weed out the dickheads, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Put like everything about you and just see who comes up. I mean, I don't know that I would like use apps and stuff anyway. Like I've only ever really dated or whatever, like people that I met anyway, or met through like, you know, like my boyfriend now, actually I met him because he followed me on Twitter and like came to see me DJ. So he already knew who I was. He knew what I was interested in. Like there was like not that much to explain, really.
Yeah.
He was pursuing you, wasn't he? Yes, I realised that now.
Yeah, after we all left the club, I got like a follow on Instagram. Like,
oh, that's classic.
Yeah.
You're so good at DJing. Oh my God.
Yeah, it worked.
I know we have kind of bitched about the show a bit, but was there anything that you thought was good about it? Like, is there any representation in it that you're like, that was positive?
I don't know. I like all the people. So I liked when they got given the chance to like just be themselves. Like I liked watching people just like, I don't know. It's hard because I liked watching people like on dates and stuff and talking about what they enjoy and like just hanging out and stuff and like just being themselves. But then they would be like, I don't know, like someone would just be being themselves and then either like the way they were filming, it would be trying to emphasize the awkwardness of it, or a therapist or whoever would be like, oh, you know, you need to talk about your interests less on a date, or like a parent would be like, oh, like he's our little weirdo. And it was just like, everyone else needs to shut the fuck up and just let these people like be who they are. Like I just wanted to watch them, I guess. Like there was a girl, like a bisexual girl who went on like a date with another girl, like they went like sunflower picking and it was really cute and like nice just to see them having a good time, and I would have liked to see more of that.
Yeah, any bi representation. I watched that and I was like, yes, girls. Have you seen it, Laura?
I haven't.
Or did Marianne's piece put you off?
I won't lie, it kind of did. It's like, and I don't know if it is the same, but it's like stuff like the Undateables I just don't like watching.
Yeah, I hate it.
Well,
Although the name of the Undateables is just horrible.
Yeah.
The whole concept, isn't it? And also, as a neurotypical person watching that, it feels voyeuristic.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously reading your piece, like, a lot of people, I must say, said to me before I'd read your piece, oh, I loved that show, Neurotypical People. I love that show. Like you said, they're all so cute. And then I was kind of like, I don't know, the idea that there's loads of people watching that, thinking that, and it's probably made by neurotypicals, I assume, the people are making the show. So it's, did you say it's made through the neurotypical gaze?
Yeah.
And that makes it a bit...
Yeah, because I think obviously as neurotypical people, you can watch stuff by and about autistic people and read stuff by and like if it's for the purpose of like, I don't know, for example, like I follow and know quite a lot of sex workers. I read a lot about sex work because I think it's important to know about because I don't do sex work. It's important for me to understand it properly. And like, obviously that's fine, but you should always be reading and consuming it kind of from that person's perspective.
Yeah.
It's also like if they flipped it and made like a dating one with, and we're all just at mini golf, just
so boring.
I know.
But also, like, everyone's first date would look awkward. That was what's so weird to me. Like, the amps looked really awkward. And it was like, but if you filmed anyone's and took away the soundtrack and like whatever, like, and imagine like interviewing people's parents as well on something about neurotypical people.
Yeah. First dates are fucking awkward anyway, you're right.
I just think like the assumption that like autistic people have to like completely change who they are and how they communicate in any environment is like insane to me because like sometimes like, I don't know, like one of the therapists was like talking to one of the autistic boys and like she was like, you know, conversation needs to be 50-50. You need to do this, you need to do that. Like, and it's like, does he though? Like,
yeah. Well,
who's making those rules up? Conversation, yeah, should be equal-ish, but no one sat there with a fucking pie chart being like, you've been speaking for 3 minutes, it's your turn now. Like, that's not how conversation works.
No, not between anyone. So it's like,
exactly,
you know, like I've made a conscious effort also because I'm a girl to like as much as I can like not steamroll and like ask other people about their stuff and like, you know, I'm really careful not to hurt people's feelings and stuff, but I'm never gonna like not talk a lot or like not talk about my interests or whatever. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah, and like, why should you?
Anyone dating autistic people needs to be like just understanding and patient and like willing to learn on their own time as well, so that they don't have to explain everything to them all the time, and just understand all of the good things that come with it. Like, you're getting into a relationship with someone who's probably very like passionate and kind and like open and honest, and like all those things are great. It just might, you know, come with some road bumps, which any relationship does anyway.
I feel like I've learned so much in this conversation, Marianne. Thank you.
Thank you. If people want to find you on the internet and look at your sickeningly adorable pictures, where would they find you?
I'm on Twitter at Marianne_Eloise, and I am on Instagram at MarianneEloise for the sickening pictures.
Going to be stalking you as soon as this is over.
Not just that, but also great content. Great written content as well. Sorry to reduce you to your cutesy pics.
Oh no, that's fine.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Marianne.
All right, amazing. Thank you.
I'm just so paranoid every time because I always say that, oh, I really loved it. But I did really love Marianne. I thought that was, I feel like I kind of learned a lot, and there's definitely some things that from that I'm going to change things that I say or assume. I've definitely said before, like, I'll bet they're on the spectrum. Like I've said, like,
oh,
I
like
know
it's
I've said
throwaway
that.
Comment.
Yeah. And then I was just thinking that the whole time. I was like, that's so offensive. I can't believe I just said that without even thinking. And I just love that Marianne listed all like the things she loves about herself, and especially that thing of like having those passions, because that's the thing that I think is really sad, that when you're older, you're made to feel like, no, you just go to work and like come home and watch Coronation Street and go to bed.
It's kind of like your hobbies are frivolous almost, and like...
Yeah, and childish, like definitely, like if you really like something.
What's wrong with that?
So, yeah, I think, I hope a lot of people, did we say neurotypical? Is that what we're saying? kind of came away like me and like thought about their own behavior in that. Because also just assuming that we're, again, the normal, like we're the normal ones. Like, why are we the normal ones?
And it's kind of like, we're the normal neurotypicals and everyone else has to fit into our idea of what communication and relationship should be. But actually, no.
Yeah.
And from what Marianne was saying, like, her relationship has much better communication than any of mine have ever had.
Exactly.
I think that's really great.
And the fact that, like she said, that basically it's people seem don't like the fact that she actually tells the truth. Mm-hmm. But how much easier is that rather than just being like, I'm fine. Right. If you just said like, I'm actually really pissed off with you.
And this like, is why.
Yeah. That would be so much easier.
I know.
It's like communication, honestly.
Every time.
We should get that tattooed.
I've got it, mate.
This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to Marianne for joining us and to you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at Cosmopolitan UK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.